And this morning, I want to try to bring a message that will bring attention once again to the thoughts of the sanctity of life. Or I guess we could call it the sacredness of life. Life is a very sacred thing. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. This is the verse that I put in the bulletin this morning, but I wanted to use it sort of as a beginning point. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 19. The Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Two little words there. Choose life. The Lord says here that He has put before us a cursing and a blessing. The blessing is if we choose life. The curse is if we choose death, then of course we understand the second death is eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. I agree that a woman has a right not to have children. But I do not agree that abortion is the way to have that. If a woman does not desire to have children, then the ultimate reason for that is, or purpose is, to have abstinence. It's been 39 years since Roe versus Wade. That's the decision that handed down legalizing abortion across our country. I have some facts here that are astounding. Since that time, over 50 million children, and I refuse to call it a fetus, it's a child, 50 million babies have not been given the opportunity to have life. That's an average of 1.4 million every year. That's 116,000 every month. That's 3,800 every day. That's one baby aborted every 22 seconds. We could pass by 22 seconds. A child has been aborted. 50 million. That's the population of Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, California, Montana, and Wyoming. Terrible. But a nation that has on its currency, "In God We Trust," a nation that has down through history has been the protector of life. Every year there are approximately 25,000 people killed in vehicle accidents by drunk driving and different reasons. But that many babies are aborted every week. We hear much about driving safety, and we should. But what about the safety of the unborn? What about the child? There are young girls. There are young ladies, 20 to 30 year old, even older ladies, that are contemplating abortion that our government has said it's okay. You'd be surprised how many people live around us and how it's affected the lives of many people. It is estimated that one abortion affects 50 people personally. We have been in the mode of removing God and His Word, which tells us right and wrong, for a very long time. Many years we have just sort of averted the things of God. And we are to the point now that the average person in America does not even consider God in their decisions. If I want to do this, let me consider finances, let me consider economics, let me consider a lot of things. But very few people consider holiness or righteousness, godliness in their decision. God has been so far removed from our thoughts in everything that we are literally almost a godless nation. The reason that life is not important is that we have forgotten where life comes from. And we're going to show this morning where life comes from, who gives it, who has the right to take it. We are not the giver of life, nor should we be the taker of life. At any age or any person, whether it be in the womb, young or elderly. Back in the early 70s when this debate was going on, I was just a young man. And I heard the pros and the cons and how that these things really would not affect it, really would not be that used. And it would certainly not go toward the older people that are incapacitated and those that cannot, and to the crippled and to the handicapped. But we have seen that is a lie also. There's many instances and many cases. Today, I want us as a church to sanctify and to honor the sacredness of life. I'm thankful this morning that our parents did not have that choice and did not use that choice. I've read accounts, I've listened to testimonies of people that have been aborted and they survived it, which that's a miracle within itself. Because of the procedure that is used is very hideous and very terrible. In a mixed congregation, I would not even tell you and would not even show you the pictures. But we living in a society that has no concern for life at all. The only thing that we are concerned about is how we can obtain goods and services and how that we can do what we need to do and it to benefit us. I forget the percentage of children that are aborted because they just would be in the way because of economics or job, profession. It's just not convenient to have a child. And so therefore, they choose death. There have been many proclamations from our government. Many folks, many presidents have been appalled at the abortion that is before us. I got two or three here, the statements that have been given. There's a first proclamation given in, I think, 1984 by President Reagan. There's the last one that I have that I'll read part of it. But in 1988, President Reagan wrote these words. This is probably the best of any that I have read. He makes a proclamation to our country on and setting aside a particular day for the remembrance of the sanctity of life. And he writes, one of these unalienable rights, as the Declaration of Independence affirms, so eloquent is the right to life. In the 15 years since the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, however, America's unborn have been denied their right to life. Among the tragic and unspeakable results of the past decade and a half have been the loss of life of 22 million infants. That's dated. It's 50 million now. But as he wrote this, 22 million infants before birth. We are told that we may not interfere with abortion. We are told that we cannot impose our morality on those who wish to allow or participate in the taking of the life of infants before birth. Yet no one calls it imposing morality to prohibit the taking of life after a person is born. We are told as well that we are to exercise a right to end the lives of unborn children, yet no one can explain how such a right can exist in stark contradiction to each person's fundamental right to life. That life belongs equally to babies in the womb, babies born handicapped, the elderly or the infirm. That we have killed the unborn for 15 years does not nullify this right, nor could any number of killings ever do so. The unalienable right to life is found not only in the Declaration of Independence, but also in the Constitution of every president is sworn to preserve, protect, and defend. Both the 15th and the 5th and the 14th Amendments guarantee that no person shall deprive of life without due process of law. our nation cannot continue down the path of abortion so radically at odds with our history, our heritage, and our concepts of justice. This sacred legacy and the well-being of the future of our country demand that protection of the innocents must be guaranteed, and that the personhood of the unborn be declared and defended throughout our land. I therefore, now Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim and declare the unalienable personhood of every American from the moment of conception until natural birth. I witness thereof, and I have hereunto set my hand this 14th day of January in the year of our Lord, 1988, and of the independence of the United States of America, 212. Ronald Reagan. That's a pretty good statement. I think he knew, I think he understood what was taking place and what needed to be done. Well, that's 1988. In the year 2009, we have another president making another proclamation. And this is, so far, the last proclamation given by a president. And this was given by George W. Bush. All human life is a gift from our Creator, and is sacred, unique, and worthy of protection. Our national sanctity of human life, they, our country, recognizes that each person, including every person waiting to be born, has a special place and purpose in this world. The most basic duty of government is to protect the life of the innocent. The sanctity of life is written in the hearts of all men and women. On this day and throughout the year, we aspire to build society in which every child is welcome in life and protected in law. We also encourage more of our fellow Americans to join our just and noble cause. History tells us that with a cause rooted in our deepest principles and appealing to the best instincts of our citizens, we will prevail. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, and he gives the same statement and proclaims. That was in 2009. There has not been another proclamation of life since he left office. Mr. Obama has made proclamation, and he has made statements concerning life. And last year, he made this statement. Today marks the 38th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that protects women's health and reproductive freedom and affirms a fundamental principle that government should not intrude on private family matters. I am committed to protecting the constitutional right. I also remain committed to policies, initiatives, and programs that help prevent unintended pregnancy, support pregnant women, mothers, encourage healthy relationships, and promote adoption. On this anniversary, I hope that we will commit ourselves more boldly to ensuring that our daughters have the same rights, same freedoms, same opportunities as our sons to fulfill their dreams. I think you see a difference there in wording. He does not proclaim a national day, but he will in the month of June for the last 2 years proclaim a national day of gay rights. We are living in a nation that has totally, by its leadership starting a long time ago, has turned their back upon the Lord. Well, we've looked at Reagan's proclamation, Bush's proclamation, Obama's proclamation, but I want us to look at God's proclamation. For that is the one that really matters. These are words on a piece of paper. These are words that have been signed by the President of the United States. But these are words that are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. The God that is the giver, and I believe the protector of life. The God that desires for us to have life and choose life and not choose death. I only have four little things that I want us to deal with this morning. If you would turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. In Genesis chapter number 1, we find that human life was first created by God. Everything in the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. And we find in Genesis chapter 1 that God gave to this earth life. He created the heaven and the earth. But then He began to work on the earth, and that sixth day of creation He did something that had never been done, and it was so far supreme to everything else that the Lord had done in those days of creation that He created man. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And the Lord blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God says, I have created you to have dominion over everything else that I have created. The difference in the creation of man is that God said He made man in the very image of Himself. The scripture where we read a while ago says God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Two times in one short statement, the word is given to us that God begins life. It is God that started the process. It is God that breathed into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. And that man is going to live somewhere forever throughout all eternity. And he better choose the life in the Lord Jesus Christ, or he will have death throughout all that eternity. And so God is the beginner of life. And no one else has the right to take that. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so here we find that it is God that put everything together. He formed man out of the dust. You wonder why there's such an onslaught and a battle against the book of Genesis? Is because Genesis tells us what God did in the very beginning. And these folks that's living today that don't want to think about God, don't want to know about God, they don't intend to hear about Him because it's just a bunch of fairy tales anyway. My friend, I'm here to declare to you that it is the Word of God, and that God breathed into the nostrils of man a lump of dust that He had formed in His own image, and He became a living soul that is going to live. God started it. No one else has the right to end it. You go over just a few chapters to chapter 4, you'll find the conflict between Cain and Abel. Cain rising up against his brother Abel, and he kills him. He murders him. You say, oh, but that's not abortion. No, but it's murder. And murder is murder. It doesn't matter if it's 2 years old or 20 years old or 98 years old or 5 months old, it's murder. Well, Gallagher said this morning he'd been faithful in church even 9 months before he was born. I can say amen to that, so was I. I believe I was 3 days old when I first saw the church. I don't remember it. And so God gives life. God starts the process of living and starts the process of where that we are to have life before us. To take life is to destroy God's plan. Can you imagine out of those 50 million babies that have been aborted since these 39 years, can you imagine, wonder how many of them could have been great scientists? Wonder how many of them could have been great teachers and how many could have done tremendous things in our world and how many of them could have been people that would be maybe noted in newspapers and books written about or them writing books. But we'll never know that because man says we don't want them. God says, thou shalt not kill. And that's talking about the taking of life in a premeditated way, murder. And abortion is premeditated. Well, I'll guarantee you that Tim Tebow is glad that his mother didn't abort her or him. She had that option. She was really tried to be convinced by the doctors because she had had some medical problems as they were there in the Philippines, and they gave her strong doses of antibiotics, and the doctor said he'll be an invalid if he's born, and so we need to take care of this. Well, he's not too much of an invalid. I wish I had half his muscles. Thank God for his testimony. But there's 50 million out there that's never had the opportunity. They throw them in trash bags, burn them, destroy them. They're not considered life. They're not considered children. But human life was created by God. Well, where does life come from now? Same place. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Psalm. The book of Psalms, number 139. Verse number 13. I like to hear the pages of the Bible ruffling. Psalm number 139, and we'll begin reading in verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which are continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We are fearfully, wonderfully made. It's not just a chance. It's not just a happening. It's not just an event. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5 says, God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That sounds to me like God knows who we are, and God knows what we're going to be. God knows what we're going to do. At the moment of conception, a unique human being's DNA is created. That DNA has never been before, and it will never be repeated again. That's an amazing fact just in itself. 7 billion people upon this earth, and not one of us have the same DNA. That's that identity that we have. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. We are the creative act of God. At conception, the sex and the hair color and the eye color have already been determined. Fearfully, wonderfully made. At 3 weeks, the eyes and the ears can be seen and the heart begins to beat. At 6 weeks, fingers and toes develop. At 7 weeks, the baby smiles or frowns and begins to suck its thumb. And it will determine then, even then, if it likes the left one or the right one. I must have loved the left one. At 13 weeks, the ears begin to pick up vibrations. And the process of life continues on. When does life begin? Conception. To say anything less is to say that God hasn't put it all in order. You and I this morning, we are here because God ordained that one day we would be born into this world. And the moment that our parents conceived us, we began life. And we became a living soul. And we're going to live somewhere forever and forever. God started the process out of the dust of the earth, and He continues the process now of a husband and a wife having children, and really still we're the dust of the earth. For when we die and deteriorate and decay, we go back to the dust. From dust we are come, and dust we go back to. But yet in that process, we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. It's beyond my thoughts how that people can abuse children. It's beyond my thoughts how that a doctor could take a life that they have sworn to do everything possible to save. It's impossible for me to understand how that a parent would say, I don't want that child. Somebody says, well, what if it comes through an inappropriate way? It's still a gift of God. It's still life. And we do not have the ability, we do not have the right to say no to that life because God has given life. Humanly speaking, you say, well, God might make an exception. I used to think that way too. It took me a while to come to the place where I am now because we let human emotions get in the way. We let what we think, we let what we hear, we let what we see come between what is real. But if we believe that God is the giver of life, then we believe God gives life. If we believe that God is the one that sustains life, then it's not man's responsibility, it's not man's place, it's not man's right to stop the life. And it does not matter if they're 3 months old or if they're 30 years old or if they're 93 years old. Oh, we can't afford it. We better afford what God says is right. Euthanism, killing of the unwanted elderly, is just as wicked and sinful as abortion. It's murder. Just a different name. I'm sure glad that God said that about Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you were, Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you were, God knew you. Explain that, preacher. I can't explain that, but I sure do believe it. How can God know things that's not even there? Because He's God. And He told Jeremiah, He said, before I formed you. And even that verse proves so much that it is God. Because He says, before I formed thee. Life comes from God. Life is a result of God in the process. And He said, I formed you before thou camest forth out of the womb. That's after He'd formed him. I sanctified thee. I set thee apart. And I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Read the book of Jeremiah and you'll say, thank God He did. Human life is precious in the sight of God. Turn over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 24. Verse number 1. 2 Kings 24 verse 1 says, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up Jehoiakim, became his servant 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent him against the bands of the Chaldees and the bands of the Syrians and the bands of the Moabites and the bands of the children of Ammon and set them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord which he spake to the servant of the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of the sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. Notice what he did. and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." God tells us that life is precious. The innocent blood that he shed is because of the judgment that fell upon them. Human life is precious in the sight of the Lord, and human life ought to be precious to you and I. I'll tell you what, our lives are pretty precious to us. We do everything we can to make sure we go as far as we can go. We'll take the shots, we'll take the pills, we'll do the operations, we'll do everything to make sure we live. Because our life is precious to us. Well, life is precious to the God of heaven. He loves us, gave himself for us, that we might live with him. And we are to respect that life that God has given. The problem in America this morning is a spiritual problem. Somebody says, "Don't put your morality on me. Don't put your ideas on me." But you see, it's a spiritual problem. Someone says, "Well, political things ought to not be spoken of behind the pulpit." This is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. It is morally wrong to murder someone. No matter what politics says, no matter what law says, morally it is wrong to take the life of anyone, especially the unborn. God tells us that we are to respect human life, that we are to honor. There's no respect in America about it, hardly anything anymore. Our respect level is way down. Nobody respects anybody. The book of Numbers, chapter number 35, verse number 16. I'll read these real quick and we'll be done. "And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer." Pretty plain, isn't it? "The murderer shall surely be put to death." Oh, that's cruel and unusual. "And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer." Verse 18, "Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he shall die, and he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death." God respects life. That's why the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." And I believe we could pretty well say here that he that takes the life of an unborn, he is a murderer. I believe that. I'll preach that. I'll stand upon that because God says, "I began life. Before I ever knew you, before you ever formed you, I knew you." And God said, if you take a life, by whatever way you do, he uses here an instrument of wood, a stone, whatever it is, God said he's a what? Murderer. May God help us this morning. 39 years ago today, the Supreme Court of the United States, which is the highest court in our land, and there those nine judges sat and heard the case that is now so well known as Roe versus Wade. Four of them said, no, we should never permit that. But there was a liberal slant to the court, as has been for a number of years, and will be for a number of years. And they said, oh no, everybody has a right. You know what the Church of Laodicea, you know what Laodicea means? People's rights. And that was one of the first things that I can really put in the process of things that have happened in our country. That's one of the first things that came about, is that it's the people's right It's the woman's right to do with her body as she pleases. The whole principle of that is unbiblical. We are not our own if we're saved. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. God made us so God can tell us how we are to live. This is a book of morality. This is a book that gives us thou shalt and thou shalt not. It doesn't say, well, it's your right. No, God doesn't talk about that. But when you come over to the last church of the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, you have people's rights. And they said, we're rich and we have need of nothing. And God said, oh, forgive me, but you have a wrong concept of who you are. God says you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, and you're blind. America this morning thinks she's pretty good and pretty strong. But have you ever seen as many problems? Could it be because we have done away with morality? Could it be because we've said no to God? Could it be because we say we have our right? This morning, on this day, January the 22nd, may we honor the Lord with our children and our grandchildren and realize the sacredness of life. That life is a gift from God and He gives us the right to live under His laws. 50 million. You do the multiplication. I've been up here preaching for 35 minutes. 22 children die every minute. While we have sat here and enjoyed the privilege of life, many have been ushered into eternity. Oh, but thank God I know where they are. I know where they are. Of those 50 million, every one of them in the presence of the Lord. I believe that as much as I believe I'm going to heaven myself. God has a special place. I don't understand it. I don't know how. I don't know. Somebody said, how are the children going to be when we get? I don't know. But I do know one thing. God loves life. Let's stand together this morning.